how one day, how everything can change in your life in one day. And for some of you, this could be that day. I was sharing earlier in the first service. I remember Patty walked in my office this morning. I was praying and just going over my notes. And she just walked in. She'd just gotten out of bed. I get up pretty early on Sunday. She came in. And, you know, I love my wife. When she gets up in the morning, her hair is in 40 different directions. It looked like she'd been in a windstorm or rainstorm all together. She walked in. She just looked beautiful to me. And I was reminded the day that I gave my heart to Christ. I said to her, I said, honey, remember that day? I was sitting in the pew with her. I had no intention of making that decision that day. And that preacher started preaching. And my heart started racing. And all of a sudden, when he gave the altar call, I looked at her and I'm crying then. A tough guy. I had hair down below my shoulders. I know that shocked some of you. I know you look at me and you think, he's just perfect. I almost am. What was that noise over there? But then I was not. And man, I was a bad boy. And I said it before, I said it again. If I was her dad, I wouldn't say this if he was still here. He's with the Lord now. But if I was her dad, I never would have let my daughter date a guy like me. But that morning, the Spirit of God got a hold of my life. It began to pull me, and I began to weep. And I looked at her, and I said, I've got to go. Will you go with me? And she looked back at me. She said, no, you have to go alone. You have to do this alone. This is between you and God. And little did I know that day, and I got down to that altar, I got on my knees. I didn't know. I had no idea what I was doing. These people got around me and they put their hands on me. They began to pray over me. And I'm like, what is going on? This is crazy. I was just out partying a couple nights before. Now I'm at this altar. I'm praying this prayer. Me? I'm the man. Who am I? What's going on here? And that day changed my life. It changed the history of my life. See, and I tell my boys this, when I was their age, not so much now, Ben and Ryan, but when they were in their teens, I look at them. They were good boys. I mean, my boys have always just been good boys. They've had their challenges once in a while, but they're, compared to me, why do I always hear that noise over at this side? Compared to me, I mean, I was so away from God. And I used to, they'd go anywhere, I'd look at them like I used to do. Where are you going? Who are you going with? You better not be drinking. I find you drunk. I'll beat you. I mean, I'll discipline you. They weren't out doing that. And our lives have changed so much since that day. And I want to just encourage someone today. If you're here, you've never given your life to Christ. Might not happen that way with you. You could be out somewhere. You could be sitting in your car in a parking lot somewhere and just empty. Say, Jesus, come into my life. You could do it at home. You could do it in your bedroom. But make the decision to make Jesus the Lord of your life. And when you do, listen, He'll change everything in your life. Change everything. Come on, aren't you happy for that today? Open up your Bible, if you have your Bible, to Mark chapter 8, verse 27. I'm going to read that in just a moment. Father, I thank you today for your power, your grace, your love. Take your word today. Help us to apply it to our lives and help us to live the way you've created and called us to live. I ask it in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. Last week I talked to you about a few things, the same subject, how one day can change everything. Last week I just left you with these three thoughts, that you have to make the decision. You're going to make the best out of 2014 spiritually. In Ephesians 5 verse 15 it says, be careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. The word opportunity there is kairos. It's an opportune time. It's a time when the door opens and the also a time when the door shuts. Make the most out of every opportunity because the days that we're living in are evil. The second thing I said last week was to make the decision to get rid of every distraction, everyone. Hebrews 12 says, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that easily entangles us. And let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. You have to make, my brothers and sisters, you have to make the decision to alleviate the distractions out of your life. And I made the statement that I've decided that I will not let anything that really means nothing keep me from experiencing everything. Ooh, I love that. You want me to say it one more time? Okay, I have decided that I will not let anything that really means nothing keep me from experiencing everything. Because your life in Jesus, when your life is in Him, you experience so much more. I did Robin and Lenny's son's wedding yesterday. Little Jordy got married. And I was sitting there, I was praying the night before and praying yesterday, and I thought, God, what do you want me to say? And I felt the Lord say, honor the parents. Because here's Jordan's mom and dad, married, in love, love Jesus, love their kids love them. You don't see that every day. And here is Jordan's wife-to-be, Carly, parents, married, in love Jesus, and love them. And I said to Lenny later, I said, when I got married, my parents were both gone. My mom and dad were both gone out of my life at age 17. I had nobody. And the life that we live in, that we're experiencing now, with Christ in our lives, is amazing compared to what we grew up with. And for some of you, maybe you love the Lord, and maybe you've gone through loss. That just because we love God and we're serving Him does not mean that we don't experience tough things or that you won't either. But I'm going to tell you something that it does mean. You'll never experience Him alone. He'll always be there with you. But you got to get rid of the distractions in your life. And the third thing I said is to make the decision to prioritize the presence of Christ in your life. Make a decision. And today, I just wanted to take just a few minutes, and I'm not going to be long today, but I want you to know that following Jesus and making the decisions in your life will make a profound and have a profound influence upon not only your life here now, but your eternity and the eternity of those around you. You know, I got to thinking about following. What do you think of when you hear the word or you think of the word follow? And I was reminded of when I was a young boy and I'd follow my brother around. And my brother he'd try to lose me and he'd go into the house. We're just little kids. He'd go into the house and he'd say, Mom, tell him to quit following me around. He's driving me crazy. Anybody ever had that happen to you? No kids. And my mom would try to make peace, and then my brother would run. He'd go hide because he wouldn't want me following him. And now we have different things. When we think of following, we have social media. We have Facebook followers. We have Twitter followers, Instagram. We have trends that we're interested in. Some people, they're fascinated. They follow political figures and celebrities of every kind. Football today, people are already, they're already setting up in their home, and God bless you, football fans that are here this morning. I never could understand how a football game can start at night and people got to get going at 6 o'clock in the morning, but that's another message sometime. I'm not going there. But followers, we follow things. And I remember that old song, and I think we sang it last week or 2 weeks ago, I have decided to follow Jesus. And I looked at where that story originated from, and it originated back in the late 1800s, around 1880, 1890, where during the great Welsh revival that I talked about several weeks ago, where a man by the name of Evan Roberts began to pray and saw 100,000 people come to Christ. Some of those people that came to Christ became missionaries and began to go into India and begin to evangelize the Hindu villages. And one of the missionaries that went into those areas came into what was known as a very brutal village. That if you weren't a very stout follower of Hinduism, that you could be hurt, excommunicated, or at worst, murdered. And here, this missionary came in and began to preach the gospel. And a family of four, a husband and a wife and two children, they gave their lives to Christ and began to follow Jesus. And the city elders, the village elders, decided they're going to make a show of this. And they're going to set an example, and brought this family out in the middle of this village and gathered all the people in the village around to watch and see and put this man up. Said, if you don't denounce Christ and this preposterous new faith that you're claiming, Christianity, we're going to not only murder you, but we're going to kill your family in front of you. And as he stood there, with everybody in the village watching, he said, no, I'm going to. I have decided to follow Jesus. And as he did that, archers and men with spears thrust him into his two children's lives. And there, his two children lay in front of him, bleeding and died in front of him. Looking back at the dad, said, are you still going to follow this Christ? He said, yes, I have decided to follow Jesus. And with that, the same men that killed his children killed his wife right in front of him. They looked back at him. What do you think now? And this is what he said. As he looks at his family dying, taking their last breath, he said, though none go with me, still I will follow. And with that, they said, we're going to give you one more chance. He looked at him and he said, I have decided to follow Jesus. And as they begin to kill him, and they begin to strangle him, he said, he looked up into the heavens and he said, the cross before me, the world behind me. And thus a song was birthed. I have decided to follow Jesus. Because when we make these statements, we make them and we minimize and we trivialize this so much, and we think that following Jesus is some kind of a cultural thing that, okay, I'll give my heart to Christ because if I do that, then everything is going to be good and the church will give me whatever I need and take care of me, and nothing could be further from the truth. Oh yes, the people of God, we're here to help and stand and pray and do whatever we can. But when we follow Jesus, it's not a culture thing. And when we look at the scripture in Mark chapter 8, Jesus says it very well. Jesus and his disciples went into a village around Caesarea Philippi. I was there just a few weeks ago. And on the way he asked them this, he said, who do people say that I am? They replied, because they were superstitious in that time. He said, some said you're John the Baptist. Others said Elijah. Some said that you're one of the prophets. And this is Jesus said, but what about you? He says, who do you say that I am? And if you don't remember anything else I say today, I want to leave you with that. I want that to be imprinted into your heart today. Who do you say that Jesus is? Peter said, you're the Christ. Jesus said, don't tell anybody about it. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, the teachers of the law. He must be killed, and after this, 3 days, he'll rise again. Because they were looking for somebody who was going to come in and extract them from Roman rule and set them up as a leader. They were all going to be at his side. They didn't know what he was embarking on here. And when he said that, he spoke plainly, and Peter took him aside. Jesus, come here. And Peter began to rebuke Jesus. And let me just say this. You don't have to be demon-possessed to be used by Satan. That'll sink in. You'll catch that a little later. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, the Bible says he rebuked Peter. Peter's over there with Jesus. You don't know what you're talking about. Jesus, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus? Yeah. And then Jesus, he rebuked Peter, and this is what he said. Get behind me, Satan. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. And he called the crowd to him along with his disciples, and this is what he said. If anyone would come after me, listen to me right now. He must deny himself. He must take up his cross. And he has to follow me. And we view the cross maybe as a piece of jewelry or some kind of wooden structure that we put up in churches and we kind of worship it. But that's not what it is. Jesus says, if any man makes a decision to follow me, he's got to deny himself, take up the cross. And the cross, it's not just a bad day. Oh, I just got to bear my cross. I'm having a bad day. It's the cross I have to bear. This is not an irritation in life. The cross is a selfless one-way journey to the will of God that obeys what I want and obeys his plan only. The cross of Jesus. And this is what he goes on to say. For whoever wants to save his life, he's going to lose it. But whoever loses his life for me, Jesus, and the gospel, he will save it. Man, I like that scripture. That's preaching material right there. And then he goes on to say, well, for what good is it for a man if he gains the world and he loses his own soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for a soul? And you know what the answer is? Everything. He'd give it all for his soul. Jesus says, if anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation. I wonder what Jesus would say if he could stand in our midst today, if he called that an adulterous and sinful generation. The truth of the matter, some of the same things were going on then that are going on now. They just didn't have 24-hour cable to announce it. He said, if anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with his holy angels. And how many of you know he's coming again? And the old song used to go, it may be morning, it may be noon, it may be evening, but he is coming soon. Come on today. Do you love him in his house today? And one day, come on, if you're going to clap, don't mess around today. And one day of making a choice to follow God, to really follow him, not just to pitter-patter around, but to follow him can change everything in your life. Jesus said again in Luke 9:23, in the New International, he said unto them, if anyone will come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Take it up daily and follow me. So everyone is somewhere in this journey. Everyone is at some level. And I learned this when I was in my coaching class. These five levels of following him. And you're in one of these. And the reality of it is, wherever you are in this, God wants you to move one step closer. I'm going to start at the minimum place where we start. And that's the crowd. That's the place where we come and see. And everybody starts there sometime. Not everybody that comes into church is spiritual and has a relationship with Christ. And you know, the reality of it is, we want to make the house of God palatable enough so people can come in. And just because we don't have this breakout revival every time we get together does not mean that God's not doing something in our midst, because there's a crowd that comes in, and not everyone who has that experience really knows what is taking place. The Bible says that the natural man does not perceive the things of the Spirit because they're spiritually appraised. And so the natural man, the guy that's just coming in for the first time, he looks at the pastor today with a jersey on, 007. Hey, my team, come on, somebody. He wonders, what is going on there? That's for the people that, you know, that you have no experience in church. And I love you and I want you to come, because when you start there, you don't stay there, because the next place you come, you know, you belong and then you believe. We don't expect people to have the relationship with Christ before they come into the church. The church is a place that broken, hurting people that don't know anything about anything that's going on come in. They are loved by the presence of the Spirit of God and the Spirit that is in the people of God, We don't stand back and point fingers and judge and how could you do this? And do you know? And when people say, I can't come to church because if I do, the walls will cave in. My brother, the walls will not cave into you. We all got here first. They're still up. Everybody is welcome, but we don't stay as the crowd. Then we come and we become part of the congregation. This is where many of you are today. You come, you join, you connect. You take another step. You get involved in some way. You come to a Bible study. You commit. Hey, I'm going to come that Wednesday night when they show that movie. And I'm going to come to the... I want to find out, who is this guy sitting on the front row down? He got tattoos all over. He's kind of scary when I first meet him, but the preacher is putting him in a Bible study. What is going on there? I got to find out more. You come and see. Then you go to another level. You take another step. And one step can change your life. One day, one step. One step. I love this so much. I think I'm going to preach on it another week. We go to the level of committed. That's where we come and we grow. Salvation is not the end. It is the beginning. It's more accountability in our life. And in the 21st century, accountability, people say, nobody's going to tell me. And it's not about people telling you what to do. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're accountable, if you're a man and you're accountable with three or four other guys, you won't go to the places or look at the things or take into your system all the stuff you used to, because now you have this accountability. You have this covenant going on with others that are praying for you, that are holding you up. And when you get together, hey man, how you doing? Well, I messed up a little last night. Come on, let's pray. We're not going to stay there. I'm going to pray you out of that. You're going to the next level in your walk with Christ. You got to have that place in your life. Salvation is not the end. You begin to come to a Tuesday morning, early morning prayer. Hey, come on, some of you want to take that next step. Why don't you get two or three people and say, let's meet Tuesday morning, 6 a.m., come in for prayer and make that a habit for a month and watch how God will change your life. Amen. Come and grow. Worship. And then it goes to the next level, the core, and those are the people you come and you serve. Oh, man. This is the part where your life and your walk with Christ really begins to take and make a difference. It could be in the music. It could be in the usher. It could be in the adoptive block. It could be up in the nursery. It could be in the children's ministry. It could be in a Bible study. It could be on the bus. It could be in the nursing home, in the jail. It could be in the myriad. It could be in the food pantry, and I'm going to forget something. But it's the place where you come and you serve and you see that when you give of your life, that something happens in your own personal life. And you won't know until you go. You got to go. And then, when you go through those, the crowd, the congregation, the committed, the come and serve, the core, then you step into the commission. And you'll go, love this. Because the commission, you come and you die. How many of you want to die for Him? Let me tell you something. You're going to die anyways. I don't care how strong and tough you are. You're going to die. And if you're going to die, I'd rather die. I'd rather go out of this world giving my all for Christ who gave His all for me, serving, loving, compelling others to come into the kingdom of God and see their lives changed for the glory. Come on, you ought to give God a great praise on that this morning. I'm not going to do the minimums anymore. I'm not going to do just enough. I'm going to be a light on a hill. I'm going to be a voice in the darkness that says, come, follow this Jesus, because the God that gave me everything, now I'm going to give Him my all. And when you do that, oh my goodness, you'll find life and you'll find it in an abundance. And you, each one of us today, you're somewhere in this. You're somewhere in this place. You'll find yourself. And I want to encourage you today to take that next step of wherever you are. You can't jump from the crowd to the dying. Well, you can, but it's going to take just a little time. But you start today. And when you start, it makes all the difference. I walked into the food pantry on Thursday. I couldn't believe the people that were as cold it was kind of rainy, snowy, I don't know what it was. And I opened the door, and there was a crowd in there. People, you don't know that we're feeding over 500 people a month. And there's a small group of people that are dedicated to that. Kathy Cervone, Miss Carol, Jean, I mean, sometimes the Lafayette. But there's always room for more. There's room for one more. There's room at the cross, at the food pantry for you. Little plug for the food pantry today. Come on. Amen. And when you make a spiritual decision in your life, it changes who you are and who you become. You go from no commitment to total commitment. And I'm going to tell you something. There's no in between there. Jesus said in Revelation, I would you're hot or cold. I want you either serving me or get out of the way. And that sounds difficult and hard, but that's the truth. You go from no commitment to total commitment. From a consumer, what are they going to give me? That guy better sing that song I like. I better hear a hymn today and bless the Lord. I move from that. I become a contributor. Let me bless somebody. Let me help somebody. Let me put my heart. We don't come to church all the time just to get. If you're only coming to get, you're just a consumer. We come to give. We come to touch a shoulder, to put our arm around somebody, to bless somebody, to smile at somebody, to tell somebody, hey, you're going to make it. It's so good to see you. And you will never know what you can do for someone that I could never do. You're no longer just a consumer. You are a contributor. You go from him being just your savior, and now he's my Lord. He's my Lord. He just didn't save me. Now he's my Lord. I live for him. I give it all. I go from what he can do for me to what I can do for him and do for others. So today is that day for you to make that decision. Two things I want to leave you with. How do you do it? You follow the example set by Christ. 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul says, New King James, imitate me as I imitate Christ. New International says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. That's such a challenge. Because if I'm not living for him, you can't follow me. You follow me, I'll lead you in a wrong path. But as I live for him, as I follow the example by Christ, I can boldly and confidently say to you, come on with me. Come. David said, let us go up to the house of the Lord. I love the Living Bible. And some of you, King James only, you have an issue with that translation, but you'll get over it. 1 John 2:4 says in the Living Bible, someone may say, I'm a Christian, I'm on my way to heaven, I belong to Christ. But if he doesn't do what Christ tells him to do, he's lying. Sounds hard, difficult. It's not. It's just truth. You know what? Because we're living in a time and a season, we don't have time for fluff. I'm tired of fluff. Fluff never, it never helps. I mean, I want a little fluff once in a while. Maybe I'm sick. I want a little soup fluff. But I'm telling you what, when I'm facing the face of the enemy in my life, I don't want fluff. I want the gospel that will change my life and the people around me. Follow his example. I choose to follow him. Though none go with me, still I will follow. The cross before me, the world behind me. Secondly, I live my commitment publicly. I live it. I've got a ring on my finger that says I'm hitched. Y'all know what that means? I don't wear it just when I'm home. I don't put it on when I'm home, walk around. Hey, honey, look it. Hey, we're married. Forget that. Sometimes when she gets upset at me, I go, hey, we're married. Take it off then when I leave the house and walk around. I always wonder that. Maybe you're here today and I didn't plan on it. But if you're a married guy and you leave your wedding ring off, come on. It's not going to get caught in any machinery. Or I better just move on from there. Well, I leave that thing on in public. I'm hitched. I belong to her. You can't live for Jesus and only do it privately. Matthew 10:32, whoever acknowledges me before men, I'll acknowledge him before my Father in heaven, but whoever disowns me before men, I'll do the same with my Father in heaven. You say, man, Pastor Marty, that's kind of hard today. No, it's wonderful. It's peace. It's following him. I've decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back.
The cross before me.
Before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back, no turning.
Up and sing that. And the preacher would say, if you don't know Jesus, I want you to come. I want you to stand at the altar here, and I'm going to pray for you to ask Christ into your heart. I heard that song so many times when I was young and first going to church, and it meant nothing to me then. I'm just being very honest today. It meant absolutely nothing. But one day, I don't know what it was. It wasn't just the preacher. It was the way the Holy Spirit, as I look back now over 30 years ago, it's the way he constructed those words and they touched my heart. And maybe I'm talking to somebody today. I want my prayer team to come up here and stand here. And maybe that's you today. You need Jesus in your heart. You could be the next Billy Graham in this house. You could be the next great preacher. You could be, let me tell you it this way, you could be the next great father. The next great mom. Could be you today. And although I'd like to say, let somebody come with you when you come, this isn't the day for that. But I want you to come. Though none go with me, still I will follow.
Just come.
Come.
Come with me.
Thank you.
I still will follow.
You haven't been following him with everything that's in you. And I'm going to answer that altar call first. I want you to just come up out of your seat. I don't know if we'll pray for everyone, but just by an act of motion, step out of faith and say, I'm going to follow you today. This day is going to be different for me. After this day, Super Bowl isn't the most important thing, but you'll never forget this day. Because this is the day you made the decision. I'm going to follow him with everything. Behind me, the cross before me. Come on. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back. No turning back. I have decided to follow him. I have decided to follow Jesus.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided.
before me.
Before
this is the last stanza that I'm going to sing, and we're going to close. The altar's going to close.
The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back, no turning back.
And Father, how I thank you and praise you today for your grace, your love that you show. I pray, Lord, for my brothers and my sisters. I thank you for those who have come today and for the heart of what you're changing and what you're doing in their lives. And for my brothers and sisters now standing in the congregation, that you would use them. God, that you, every single one, would take to the place that we will come and we will give and die and commit to you. I believe this day is a new day. I thank you for it, God. We honor and we love you with all of our heart, our soul, our mind today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I love you. Go in God's grace today. Don't forget to stop at the pickup right out front there. Benny's out there. Aaron, going to give you a little snack. God bless you so much.